But you turn around and you, you know, maybe this year will be different. And I'm not opposed to New Year's resolutions because maybe this year it will stick. Maybe this time will be different, right? So there's nothing wrong. You keep trying. And this is the last Sunday of the year. And in here, you know, I initially started off with this idea, look, I'm going to go and give an opportunity for everyone to kind of give a testimony of praise. You look at this past year, and there's been some good things along the way. And I'll just open up the floor real quick here this morning. This year, has there been something this year you're like, really awesome that God answered a prayer, or maybe along the way that something worked out for you? I'm just curious. It's always dangerous to open the floor because if no one says anything, then everyone's like, yeah, Kathy.
I've had some major holy
I'm just curious. Yes. Is he right next door, or is there a place in between? There is okay. So there's a little distance there. Amen. All right. Anyone else this morning? I just want to... Going once? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 came to mind this week. So studying off for this. It says, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, and this part of having that relationship with God is really, Lord, you know, it's not a matter of a bunch of do's and don'ts. Christianity isn't a bunch of rules that we follow, but it's really a relationship with God. And because of that, that desire is to know Him more. And hopefully this past year that you've learned more about Him. But not just learn some head knowledge about Him, but really having an idea of experiencing Him. Seeing Him work and seeing how this really plays out. And then our hearts change because of that relationship we have with Him. But in Hebrews, it's really powerful. So therefore, let us continually offer. Our praise should be ongoing. It's not just, I think of here and there. Or, you know, we stop and we pray. Can you hear me? Okay. But we turn around and we praise Him all the time. You know, not just, okay, Lord, thank you for this food. Or, you know, at the end of the day, phew, I made it. Right? You read a prayer like that, at the end of the day, it's like, alright, chalk it down, I made it through. And then you wake up in the morning, you're like, okay, Lord, here we go again. But in your continual praising and living in an attitude of thankfulness towards Him. And you know, you talk about all the good things. And it's no real mystery to you all. I am not a fan of winter. You know, when we got in the ministry, we said, my wife and I graduated from Bible school, went up into the county, we were up by Holton, and my prayer was, Lord, send us south. And my, you know, my goal was like, really south-like. And so, our first church was down by Lincoln. Okay, that's a little south. And Lord, I had bigger jumps in mind. And then we spent the last 9 years over in Knox, which is south from Lincoln. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm moving in the right direction. Well, now I'm in Stockton Springs, which actually I think I lost ground. I think we're going a little north. But we've been watching the news lately. I've been praising God, being talking about being thankful that I'm not in Lincoln anymore, as they have several feet of snow. This morning I was watching, the temperatures was like zero. So I'm really liking this coastal living down here. But Lord, you know, I'm one of these guys, you know, when it's warm and it's nice, you know, I just enjoy being outside, you know, walking around town. I just enjoy, you know, I was biking and now it's winter and I don't want to do nothing. Right? Anyone else like that? You know, it's like, oh. So I'm, it's easy to praise the Lord during the summertime. I don't know if you guys even know who this guy is. If you don't know who this is, that's okay, but it's a snowman who dreams of being in summer. And maybe I feel like that this morning. Lord, I'll praise you in the good times. I'll praise you when the sun is shining. I'll praise you, Lord, when the flowers are blooming. I'll praise you when the sun stays up later than 5 o'clock. Right? It's so easy to fall into that. Lord, thank you for all the good things. Remember, Hebrews 13 says continually offering up praise. Because guess what? Summer doesn't last forever. Even to this situation. You know, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time saying, Lord, praise you when it's 13 degrees outside. Chipping away at the ice. Right? Everything's just harder. Scraping off the vehicles. All these things, it becomes harder. And yet the command still tells us to praise Him continually in all these things. Praise the Lord in the hard, in the winters. And I'm not talking about just the winter of the season, but the winters of our lives. Have you ever been in a position in your lives where you just felt like it was the winter? Right? The sunshine isn't shining in our lives. It's dark most of the time. Everything's just a little harder. Right? You ever have those areas in your life? Or maybe you're in the summer time of your life where things are just working out. Things are great. The birds are singing, right? But God tells us to praise Him in both these avenues. In both the perfect times and the not so perfect times. And it's difficult sometimes to do that. But it's imperative for us to have that mindset in our lives of praising Him both in the good and in the bad. Scriptures are filled with this. If we look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is an interesting book because it talks about this perspective of earthly wisdom. As we look around us, what do we see? And the writer here tells us, this is in the day of prosperity, be joyful, right? That's easy. You know, praise God when I get the raise, when I find that 20 bucks. You ever done that? Ever? I pulled out my winter coat and I found a $20 bill in my winter coat that's been there. Woohoo! I know, I'm easily amused. Right? It's like, oh yeah, praise God! It's a little harder when that $20 bill goes out though. So in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider this. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. The good days and the bad days are appointed by God. And I couldn't help but think about this past year. And as pastor, I've had opportunities this past year to be with some of you through some hard times. And sometimes the holidays just kind of exasperates that, right? We see the whole world being happy and joyful and woohoo and all this, and it kind of reminds you kind of how miserable you are sometimes. When you look at all the people that have, it reminds you of what you don't have. And sometimes we have the struggles. And I know so for some of you, this has been a hard year. Some of your families, it's been hard. But God is still to be praised. I shared with this a couple of weeks ago. I found out I have an aunt who is in stage 4 liver cancer. And I'm not sure where she is at right now. I haven't heard the latest update on her. So I was praying for her, and she needs to know the Lord. And I was praying that she would get things right with God before she dies. And I just got a phone call that one of my other aunts had just died this past week. The summer ended with my wife's nephew, 17-year-old boy, who lost his battle with leukemia. It's been a hard year for some. And sometimes what happens is in the Christian life, we want to gloss over and we want to sugarcoat it. And, you know, because as Christians, we're not supposed to show that we're kind of suffering through these things. So we want to smile and praise God. And yet, that isn't real. But the days we have come from the Lord. So we do something probably just a little bit different, because I think it's imperative for us to consider praising the Lord in the hard times. When life isn't perfect, when sometimes the sunshine doesn't seem to be shining on us so much. So in light of that, looking at Hebrews 13, the command is still the same. It says, Therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And how do we do that? That becomes a difficult thing. Because in our lives, we're never promised a rose garden. I think there's an old song that talks about that. That we're in a world that is fallen, that is hurting, that falls upon us. In the book of Job, you know Job, he was a guy who lost it all. And one day, lost his properties, lost his family. And he declared right off the bat, he says, therefore Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To praise him in the good times and the bad times. That God is still there. Even when the storm clouds come in, God is still there. Whether I can hear his voice or not, he is still there. And a powerful lesson for us to go on. And how can these things make sense? How can I rectify of what I see and what I do? And how can I rectify how I feel? And how rectify that by the faith that I know I should be, right? Because anyone else feel that wrestle? Because sometimes I don't feel like I think I should. Book of Habakkuk. I know it's your favorite book. I always call these the white pages of your Bible. These are the ones that kind of stick together because no one ever goes there. Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets, and in here he prophesied that what was going on was Israel, God was going to take Israel and put them in the bondage because of their sin. And God told Habakkuk, look, Israel's going to be taken. And he had a problem with that. He goes, wait a minute, God. The nation that's taking us captive are worse than we are. How come you're letting the wicked succeed and your own people kind of flounder and fail? Habakkuk is a quick little read. It's only three chapters. And in here talks about it. Habakkuk comes up and says, hey, God, what's going on? And God says, well, don't worry about it. I'm God. And sometimes that answer doesn't really settle well, right? Because sometimes you want to know, don't you? Maybe this has been a year where you looked at him and said, God, what are you doing? Have you ever thought about that? That's okay. I'll admit, I do it sometimes. God, what are you doing? I remember one point in our life when we're going through some really hard times. Because Christians go through hard times. I felt like I was under attack and everyone was kind of against me and I didn't know, which way to turn. And I remember pouring my heart out to God. And I encourage you to do that. You don't have to go to God and act all pious and pray all the these and thous and act all spiritual with God. He knows what you're going through, so you might as well tell Him. He's got big shoulders. He can take it. And I remember pouring out my heart to God. And I was just, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Right? God, what next? If one more thing happens, you ever been to that point? If one more thing, and I said, God, and this is, I'm going to tell you how selfish your pastor is. I poured out and I said, God, you don't understand. I've given up everything for you. I could have been, making money. I could have been doing all these other careers. I could have anything else. I've served you. I've done everything you want me to do. God, why are you letting this happen to me? And after I got it all out, I realized, well, selfish little brat I sounded like. And I realized that I'm not the only one who's gone through that. See, I promised to the Lord a long time ago. I said, Lord, if you ever give me a pulpit, I will be honest with the people. Because I struggle sometimes. Because I realized that, sometimes this, as Christians, we're so afraid of letting people know what we're really kind of going through. Because what are they going to think about us? But sometimes we kind of wear a mask for a lot. And I don't want to be that kind of person. But in here, Habakkuk came up back to God and said, God, what's going on? And times are tough. Things are hard. Where are you? And towards the end of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, this is what he came to the conclusion of. It says, the fig tree may not bloom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. And in here, he gives us a key understanding when we're going through those things that God is still there. The fact that God is there or not isn't dependent whether or not I see Him. He is there. It's not dependent on how I feel, that warm and fuzzy. It's that I know He's there because He says He is. And in here, I can be thankful and praise Him and uplift Him in all these things. Back in Hebrews, I want to point out an interesting thing in this verse. 'Tis therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Now I love that terminology, the sacrifice of praise. Because he's, on surface, he's like an oxymoron. It seems like two opposite things. When I turn around and offer a sacrifice to God, when I offer up a sacrifice, it's giving up something. And a true sacrifice is something that we give up that is maybe painful for us to give. When we lay down something that costs us. So it's interesting because he puts in together this idea of giving something that costs me something with praise. David in the Old Testament went to offer up something to the Lord, and he came up through and he needed a place. So he came up to the owner of the place and said, "Hey, I want to use this to sacrifice to God." And the guy's like, "Oh, you're the king, you can have it." And King David was like, no, let me pay you for something. He goes, "I'm not going to offer the Lord something that costs me nothing." I won't offer something to the Lord that costs me nothing. It's easy to give away things that we haven't bought. Something that didn't cost us, right? Because something for free, it's easy to share that. Something we take it for advantage of it. Takes things for granted. I remember as a kid, we moved up to Island Falls and we went with potato picking. And up there was a great opportunity because we'd make some money. But the deal was that we'd have to buy our school clothes, which was lots of fun as a kid. Yay! But the deal was that if we made enough to pay for our school clothes, that anything left over we could spend on whatever we wanted. Which was great incentive to be little entrepreneurs. So I was in about fourth grade, out working in the potato fields. And working hard because I had to make enough. And so we finally get, my mom figured out how much we need for clothes for school. And after the end of that, we had money left over. And I had enough to buy a 10-speed bicycle. It was a Huffy. It was a beauty. This was my Red Ryder BB gun moment. It was a glorious bike. It was orange. I still remember this bike. And I was really cool. Does anyone remember the old 10-speeds with the handlebars? And so we were cool. You'd loosen them up and turn the handlebars up. So they were like little bullhorns. Now, I've had bikes before this. My parents had bought us bikes. And you'd go up to our house and we'd have bikes all over the front yard. We had one bike that was, the wheel was a little wonky because we just dropped it behind my mom's car. She backed up over it. Right? My mom was like, "Hey, what, you know, pick up your bike, put it away." No. Well, I spent my money on this 10-speed. And I took it out and I washed it. I put it in the garage or next to the house on the kickstand. I didn't know bikes had kickstands until I bought my own. I saw my brothers touching it. He didn't touch it. He was looking at it, thinking about touching it. And I, "Get away from my bike." No, right? I didn't want to scratch on it. I took, and my mom's like, "Well, what happened? What's, you know, you've had bikes and they're all, I don't see your bike out in the yard anymore." Right? "I've never seen you wash a bike. I've never seen you care for anything," right? What was the difference? I paid for it. And sometimes when we get things that don't cost us anything, we totally lose the whole value of it. To tie that in with the text here, folks, when God just pours out His blessings on us, and we praise Him when it's easy, it has no price to it. It's easy to praise Him when things are going well. It's easy to praise Him when the blessings seem to be coming. It's easy to bless and praise Him when He seems so close to us. Those are easy things to praise Him for. But boys, it's a whole lot different when we praise Him in the hard times. Isn't it? Lord, I feel like I'm being whacked around. I feel like I'm being hit time and time again. But Lord, I still thank you and I praise you because you're still God. That costs something. That's a sacrifice that we lay down at His altar. Lord, I will praise you even when it hurts. The sacrifice of praise. I want to give you three things this morning. That maybe you're going through some things. Maybe 2018 was not a stellar year for you. Still want to encourage you to praise the Lord in it. Offer it up as a sacrifice of praise. First thing, stay close to the Lord. I don't know if you can make out what that is. Elwin, have you ever seen something like this before? Looks like the back of a plow truck. You know, when you're in the winter and you can't see where you're going, right? The winds are blustering. Now, don't get too close. But stick behind the plow truck. They'll clear the way. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't see where you're going down the road and you see those taillights and you're like, all right, it's going the right direction. Right around Thanksgiving, we had a snowstorm. We went out to see my oldest daughter to do Thanksgiving with her. And it was snowy, you know, it was blistery out. It was really hard to see. And my daughter's like, oh, we can cancel. I'm like, no, we get a chance to see our grandkids, so we're going. So we head over to Albion. So we're on 137. I don't know if you guys have ever been down 137. And we're going ahead towards Albion. And you get from Freedom and Albion, and we're following the plow truck. Because you couldn't see the road. It was just so snowy. You couldn't see the right side of the road, left side of the road. There was just one clear path, and the plow truck was in front of us. And we were following it. Well, it's interesting because, how many of you know what road I'm talking about? 137. All right. The Palermo Road goes straight, and 137 turns. Well, the plow truck went straight to head towards Palermo. And we followed the plow truck. Couldn't see the road. I couldn't even see the turn. The snow was so bad on the road, you couldn't even see where you're going. So we followed the plow truck. We got about halfway up on the Palermo Road, and we're like, this is wrong. Folks, as we follow the Lord, we're going through the hard times, but we can't see. When you feel like you're going under, when you feel like the storm clouds are going on, stick close to the Lord. The tendency is for us is to bail. Right? Sometimes the tendency is, you know what, Lord, where are you? And I don't talk to Him like I should. I don't go to church like I was going to. I break all these associations. I want to withdraw. Let me tell you, that's the wrong thing to do. Our goal should be to get closer to the Lord. Get closer to Him. Lord, in the struggle I'm going through, Lord, help me draw closer. Draw me near, not further away. Second thing I want to encourage you when you're going through the hard times, when you're going through those seasons of winter when it just feels like there's no end, find the joy in it. Find the joy in it. I can tell you time and time again, I've been in hospital rooms. Someone's struggling, maybe someone's dying. And among the beeps and the bags and the nurses and all these things, an interesting thing happens because after a while, somewhere along the line, some laughter comes in. Now, my family, we're not normal. What's scary is I'm probably the most normal one in my family. That should tell you something. My brother a couple years ago was in a car accident and rolled the car. My brother is like 6'7". He's this really big guy. And he was in the car and the car crushed. And as it crushed, because it rolled over, it broke his neck. And we were all called in together and we're sitting in the emergency room. And we're all gathered around here. And there's the Tabor crew all gathered in here. My brother's in, you know, they're like, well, we don't want to move him because we're afraid he's going to sever his spinal cord. And you know, all these things in this tenseful moment. And the nurse had to come in and kick us all out because we were laughing so hard. My brother is laying there, barely able to move, and he's just cracking jokes. And we're just, that's my family. That's how we handle the stressful situations. And we sat back out, and we're sitting in the waiting room. We're like, wow, my brother almost died. Is he going to be able to, is he going to be paralyzed? What's all going on? But we're out there on vacation. The Lord had us there. I was able to be there with my brother during that period of time. Thank you, Lord. And I don't know your situation. I don't know what's going on. But I know in the midst of that, because I know God, and God is good, and God is merciful, that whatever you're going through this year, no matter how bad this year was, there are moments of joy. There's moments of God's working. There's moments that you can look at. Look at those things and enjoy it. If we just focus on the negative, we just focus on the bad, folks will never make it through. But find the joy. Look for the handprints of God in your life. You're not forsaken. You're not abandoned. God is there. I got one more thing for you. That the season you're in will end. It will end. The book of Ecclesiastes goes on, for everything there is a season, there is a time, for every purpose under heaven. The Beatles didn't write that, by the way. That was Solomon before that. But the truth is there, what we're going through are seasons in our lives. Now, like I said, I'm pray for me, because like I said, I'm not a fan of winter. So starting in September, I started to fret and worry because I hate winter. I hate it. I know it's coming. I don't enjoy fall because I hate winter so much. I know, you know. And already there's countdown. You know, winter just started on the 21st. But I am excited. I was watching the weather, and we've gained 3 minutes of daylight. Don't use it all up at once. But it is coming. The season will end. And the season that you're going through is just that, it's a season. That in here, there is hope. And each season brings its joys and brings its struggles. Like I said, I talk about summer. Summer is wonderful. The summer has the black flies and, you know, it's got a lot of other stuff that aren't necessarily all that great. What you tend to want to focus on. Every season has the plus and minuses. But the season that you're in, if you're in that winter season, if you're in that struggling season, where is the life, where is the hope? If you're in that season, I want to encourage you, it's temporary. There are brighter days that's coming. And maybe some of that isn't until we see the Lord. That this world isn't it. Way back in Bible school, we had a professor turn around and says, "You young guys just don't get it." He goes, "You're going to get to a point in your life where you know more people in heaven than you do here on earth, and your heart's going to long for it more and more." And I'm starting to find that more and more. You know, I'm tired of hearing the word cancer. I'm tired of going to funerals. I'm tired of saying goodbye. And I look forward to a day when there is no more sorrow, there is no more pain. I look forward to heaven. I really do. My mom used to always sing the old hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Even this lifetime is temporary, and eternity awaits us. You know, turn 51. I know some of you are saying, "Oh, you're just a kid." But I look back, I don't know how I got here so fast. And looking ahead, let me tell you something. The pearly gates look awfully good. I hear my Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." That's not a bad deal, is it? You know, wrapping up this year, I felt guilty kind of coming up with this sermon because I was like, "Oh, we should be talking about all the joys and praises and all those other things. God's been good. We looked at God's blessing and we should be excited." And as I got into this, the Lord just impressed on me to, "I want to encourage you. To praise God in this winter of our lives, the struggles that you're going through. I want to encourage you in the midst of all that, because maybe you haven't been feeling so praiseful." Is that a word? Maybe you're in a position where you're like, "You know what? It is too hard to lift my hand and say, 'Praise the Lord.' I just want to curl up." I want to encourage you this morning to offer up a sacrifice of praise. "Lord, I will praise you in the storm. I will praise you in the darkness. I will lift up my voice because you are worthy of it."